Good morning to everyone. Our first case today is Purdy versus Department of Correctional Services. Justice Stacy is recused from this case. I believe Mr. Purdy is pro se. Is there anyone here today on behalf of Mr. Purdy? Do not see anyone. So, Mr. Sitta, good morning to you.
May it please the court, Kyle Sitta on behalf of the appellees in this case, the Nebraska Department of Corrections and Warden Brian Gage. This case originates in the district court as an inmate appeal under Nebraska's Administrative Procedure Act, the APA. The inmate had asked the district court to upgrade his inmate custody status, which at the time was at medium custody, and he just wanted to get bumped up to minimum custody. The district court dismissed, saying that this was not a contested case under the APA. And because it wasn't a contested case, the court lacked jurisdiction. On appeal, the Court of Appeals agreed and said that it also lacked jurisdiction because it was not a contested case and dismissed. On a petition for further review, this court is now asking the parties to discuss two main issues. And those issues are, one, whether or not the district court correctly used a jurisdiction analysis to dismiss the case as opposed to something else more appropriate, like a 12b6 maybe. The second issue is whether or not the Court of Appeals also correctly dismissed the case for lack of jurisdiction.
What was the motion in front of the district court?
It was a motion to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction.
12b1.
It was a 12b1. I'm happy you're saying 12b1. I'm lazy.
No, that's fine. That's the approach.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. So I think the best way to address the issues here are to look at the issue before the district court, which was, is this a contested case under the APA? And as I'm sure this court knows, inmates can use the APA to appeal disciplinary hearings, but under Nebraska law, they can only do this in two situations. Either they lost good time credits at that hearing, or they were put in disciplinary isolation. And so what the district court in its order said is, you know, appellant, what you've brought before us, this is a request to have your status upgraded. You're not alleging that you lost good time credits, and you're not alleging that you were put in isolation. So you don't fit under that definition of a contested case, so we just don't have jurisdiction under the APA. Now, what this court is asking is that the right calculus? Is that, or should it have said, you're just not pleading correctly under the APA under a 12b6? It is the right calculus to use a 12b1. Because what this court has recently said is jurisdiction is getting used a little too loosely. Let's try and nail down exactly what that means. And this court is saying jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction, that refers to a court's inherent adjudicatory authority to hear a certain class of case. In other words, can the court hear this entire class of case at all? Does it have that power? Now, contrast that with 12b6, which is saying courts can generally hear this class of case. There's nothing that says it can't. It's just the defect is a plaintiff doesn't appropriately plead a necessary element of the legal claim. Negligence is a good example. Courts can generally hear negligence claims, but the plaintiff's not appropriately pleading the duty element. It's just it's a 12b6 defect. So in this case, what the appellant did is he did not bring a contested case under the APA. So in other words, he does not fall inside that class under the APA. And so jurisdiction is the correct analysis to be using.
That was the only basis of jurisdiction alleged at the district court level. Wasn't brought on, for example, in the alternative as a declaratory judgment or something else.
It is not. From the record, he explicitly says this is an APA appeal. I think he even cites 84-917, which is the mechanism, at least the procedural mechanism of the APA. So, of course, since the district court lacked subject matter jurisdiction, so too did the Court of Appeals. And the Court of Appeals was also correct when it dismissed the case for lack of subject matter jurisdiction.
Is the flaw in the jurisdiction derived from the state's sovereign immunity?
Can you rephrase that?
Well, is it that the legislature did not explicitly grant to the district court authority for a particular type of contested case, or is it that the district court would have general authority over contested cases but doesn't have it because the state has not waived its sovereign immunity with respect to this particular issue?
Well, the way I would answer that is the legislature in statute and this court in the tradition of dual opinions I've cited, it has carved out under the APA, these are the only two instances you can bring that case. So I guess in a sense it's immunity, but also oftentimes inmates sue people that are not the Department of Corrections itself. Sometimes they sue individual officials within the department. So I guess I'm a little hesitant to say it's necessarily an issue of sovereign immunity, but I think, in a sense, the legislature has said, this is what confers jurisdiction on a district court. You plead a loss of good time, or you plead disciplinary isolation.
Do you think that the constitutional grant of jurisdiction to the district courts would include contested cases generally?
I think it could, but again, I think the legislature, at least under statute, that 83-4122 and 123, has said what we are looking at only in contested cases for inmates are those two pigeonholes, in a sense.
So clearly they have waived sovereign immunity as to those, but they haven't as to everything else?
Exactly, yes. We have carved out essentially a substantive due process right for inmates under those two ideas.
But sovereign immunity is a defense that can be waived?
Sovereign immunity is a defense that can be waived.
Doesn't that sound more like a 12b-6?
It does. However, I think the issue is whether or not a contested case is a class. And because a contested case is a class, it is it's a definitional class of what counts under the APA. I think the analysis is just different in this instance. And I think in a sense, this court in Abdullah and Dittrich says that this is a jurisdictional question. So at least in part, this court's going to have to face the reality of overruling part of those two precedents, if it decides to use a 12b-6 analysis.
The one perhaps flaw of the sovereign immunity issue would allow a subordinate official within the government to waive sovereign immunity that the legislature has not expressly waived. So we probably shouldn't go that direction.
Yes, I guess so. Probably shouldn't.
Thank you.
So,
well, in this instance, the named defendant is a, I don't know the right vocabulary, perhaps an agency, not an individual. Is that correct?
That is correct. The right defendant is the Department of Correctional Services, okay, which is an arm of the state of Nebraska.
You earlier on in your argument, you were referring to the jurisprudence about contested cases inmate areas involving good time and isolation, and somewhere in the course of the pleadings and the argument, it appears that Mr. Purdy, his argument has either was or has morphed into a claim that what he had meant all along is he's losing good time due to these events. Is that kind of correct?
He does make these arguments, and to my knowledge, they appear for the first time on briefs to this court. His argument that he was isolated is he's saying, if I get upgraded to minimum custody, I can partake in certain programs that are offered by the prison. So in a sense, I am isolated from those programs when I'm on medium. This court in Dittrich said that the term isolation means exactly what you think it would mean in a prison context. So Mr. Purdy's stretching the definition of isolation a little too far, in my opinion. As to his good time credit argument, he's saying that, I guess what he's saying is a rogue staff member in the prison unilaterally changed his release date from 2018 to 2026. Now, I'm not aware of any mechanism someone can do that, so I'm incredulous if that argument is true to begin with, but That claim, he claims it was retaliatory. That's more structured as a Section 1983 claim for retaliation, not under the APA. Or he could maybe seek a declaratory judgment that the department's not calculating his release date correctly.
There's some suggestion that that's what put his request for a change of status in motion.
The suggestion, as I understood it from the pleadings, was...
I don't know what came first, if all these things indeed happened.
It's tough to make out exactly from the record what happened. As I understand it, he was set for demotion. That demotion was denied. He was to remain at medium, and then he at the same time petitioned to be bumped up to minimum.
I see. Thank you.
See, I'm almost out of time. If there are any more questions, otherwise I would just respectfully ask this court to affirm findings of the district court of appeals. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That takes us to the second case of the day, which is Stamm versus Fisher.